today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Marriage has been one man, one woman. Marriage has been that way, the dominant understanding throughout cultures for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Every culture, every continent, thousands of years. That has been the definition of marriage. Now, there have been other relationships, all kind of other sexual involvements, but marriage was defined like that since the dawn of history. And you mean marriage can be redefined? Oh, that is really strange and weird.
The truth is, homosexuality is not part of God's plan for marriage. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young concludes his message, Destroying the Family, where he examines the strategies our culture is using to normalize homosexuality. You'll hear proven truth from God's Word to help you defend the biblical design for marriage between one man and one woman. That's up next. But before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a powerful resource from Dr. Young called Unmasking Evil. This timely sermon series shines a light on the evil and suffering you see around you today and exposes the lies our culture believes that actually wreck people's lives. As you learn from God's Word where evil comes from and how it works, you'll be equipped to stand against evil in your own life and in our culture. We'll send you this 5-message series as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and others all over the world through this program. So call today to request Unmasking Evil when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Destroying the Family, Part 2.
Today, look at divorce. You can go to Sarasota, New York and check in a hotel, and 3 days, they say, in most of the cases, you could be completely divorced from your mate. So divorcing couples are going to Sarasota, $5,000, legal counsel, and they say it's sort of healthy. Here's another couple's getting divorced, you're getting divorced, you kind of get together and, you know, got a lot in common, and the divorce takes place. Just check in, $5,000, pretty easy. They put this on a sitcom, by the way, because this same company owned another hotel in Holland, and it's on television, and they had great ratings, and I understand some of our major networks are saying, well, we may do this right in Sarasota, New York, and see real-life divorce. Big audience. Hello. Destruction of the marriage, destruction of the home. Abortion. You say, well, I get the first three, but how does abortion affect this? Listen. Abortion affects it because of the woman's right to choose. The man is out of it. He's extraneous. And this is the whole function of the state to get the man out of the home and out of the family. And now the woman can choose whether that life will be killed in her womb or not. And the man is not even a factor. Has no choice. Your word is extraneous. You have no responsibility that you want. You're out of it. So abortion breaks down the basic institution of the home, the family. And these are big things in our culture, are they not? And they're all pointed by the evil one to destroy marriage. But let me tell you, the biggest one of all is one that I never would have figured out. Those four are deadly enough, but this fourth one is, it's beyond anything that you would think would ever be proposed to destroy a marriage. You know what that is? That's the redefinition of marriage. Ooh, I mean, marriage has been one man, one woman. Marriage has been that way, the dominant understanding throughout cultures for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Every culture, every continent, thousands of years. That has been the definition of marriage. Now, there have been other relationships, all kind of other sexual involvements, other constellations, but marriage was defined like that since the dawn of history. And you mean marriage can be redefined? Oh, that is really strange and weird. Let me tell you something about the debate we're in to legitimize same-sex marriage. 10, 15 years ago, I laughed. I said, let me tell you something. That's one thing you have to worry about. That's never going to be. No, goodness, that's weird. The gay homosexual lobby, they've overstepped their boundary now. You can't redefine marriage. But let me tell you something about a debate. Let me frame the debate. In other words, the parameters of the debate. Let me define the terms we'll use in that debate. And I can prove to you anything and win every debate. And you could too. The boundaries, the definitions of the words used, you'll win every time. Let me introduce you to some words that you may not know. New words. Look at them, if you would. Look at these new words. First one is beta marriage. Couple that has the opportunity to dissolve or formulate a union after a 2-year trial period. Beta marriage. Truple. New word. Three people in a relationship to do life together, derived from the same-sex couples who needed another gender to conceive a child, with all three wanting to remain active in the child's life. Truple. Divorce party. Debate. Party to celebrate the newly single status of a divorced man or woman. Let's have a party. Conscious uncoupling. Ceremony of announcement, recognizing that not all marriage are meant to last forever and both parties deserve to leave whole and intact. Breakup moon, the trip the uncoupled couple takes together to ensure goodwill and friendship after the uncoupling. Monogamish, one step down from a monogamous relationship. Guess you start getting monograms or monogamish, you know, and that's, well, we're not married or engaged, but at least we're using the same monograms. I don't know. Marriage arm, like the adjustable rate mortgage, this is an adjustable rate marriage. At certain intervals, 3, 7, 10 year, 15, the marriage terms must be negotiated to be extended. Frame the argument, defining the terms. Now, let's look at other selling points that we see how this is used, the strategy used to sell same-sex marriage. First is psychological, very simple. You know, we have freedom, we have independence. You know, I'm not fulfilled unless I move this. There's a psychological argument that's given. It's very rational. There's a medical argument that is given. In 1973, the American Psychiatric Organization, up till that time, they believed that homosexuality was a mental illness. But after 1973, bang, they said it's no longer a mental illness. Not on the basis of any science. No. On the basis of political pressure. And now what was a mental illness going into this meeting, coming out to oppose it, you were bigoted. You're bigoted. But the next area, legal, that's where you have real progress. Real progress in this area. And we see what's happening in Texas. Our state legislature passed the Defense of Marriage Act. It was on a ballot, and Texas voted overwhelmingly, 70-something percent, one man, one woman, traditional marriage. But a little while ago, Judge Garcia, a federal judge, just ruled unconstitutional to say a man can't marry a man, a woman can't marry a woman. Well, federal law trumps state law, and now it's in the Fifth Circuit of Appeals. But even if we win there in defining marriage, it'll go to the Supreme Court. And it's amazing to me in the Supreme Court how five individuals, follow me now, five individuals who were not elected but were appointed for life can make decisions that affect America when the overwhelming majority of Americans would not make that decision. How can that be? It's an oligarchy. Now, stay with me. Stay with me. So, the legal area, real progress is being made. Cultural, the old culture. Our whole environment is permeated. ABC, NBC, CBS has a lesbian talk show host every day of the week, at least all the weekdays. Our culture, we're sold every way. The schools are sold. Most amazing thing of all to me is the theological part of it. It's just, you know, when you had the mainline denomination, Episcopalians and Methodists, now evidently Presbyterians, they're taking the Bible. They're saying, oh, the Bible doesn't teach that homosexuality is a sin. And they interpret Sodom and Gomorrah, and they say that was a question of hospitality. Oh, true. And they take the passage in Romans, and other people say, oh, Paul didn't know anything about sexual orientation. As if sexual orientation was a proven, given scientific fact, and it is not. It is not. I personally think that at the right time, in anybody in this room, in the right time, your sexual orientation could have been confused. Everybody in here. I've talked to gays and lesbians for years, members of my family, good friends, friends of friends, people I've known. And by the way, we have hundreds in our church who have come out of that lifestyle by the grace of God. I'm not telling hundreds of them, so don't make no mistake about that. But everyone I have talked to who continued that way or moved out of that way always say, well, I was born like this, but there was this moment. There was somebody, a friend, a neighbor, and somebody who led them into that. It could happen to any one of us here. I firmly believe that. So don't get too pious and too holy. Let me tell you something. So the theological aspect of this is the most amazing thing of all. Most amazing thing of all. Now, we go back and we look at marriage, and we have a definition of marriage, and we got it in Scripture, but what does all that break down? Marriage is a covenant, and it's a celebration. It is a covenant between a man and a wife and God. Covenant. He's that third party. It's a covenant also in the sense it is a symbol of the most sacred covenant that you and I have if I'm in Christ and you're in Christ and we're in Christ with God. It is a symbol of that most dynamic personal relationship any individual can know of that salvation experience. It's also a covenant in that sense, a symbol of it. Also, it's a celebration. It is for pleasure and it's for procreation. It's a celebration of that one flesh, one thought, one intent, and all concerns of this present life. Leave, cleave, one flesh, no shame, beauty of it. So it's a covenant, a celebration, a two-part covenant, a two-part celebration. It is for pleasure and for procreation. You know, I just can't get over the fact, maybe you're not like I am, that Jobeth and I came together in love and God allowed us to produce three sons with him who were born in the image of God. Man, that is beyond anything I could ever ask for, dream of, or expect. That's the miracle of life. And that's the picture we have here. Now, The homosexual lifestyle is not gay and happy and just a wonderful life. There's another aspect to it. On my desk, I have papers stacked about that high that talk about the medical ramifications of the homosexual life. Any honest physician who practices in any field will tell you the results of this lifestyle, which the human body God created is not made for. But if, let's say, you go to a doctor, the doctor gives you a physical, checks your blood, says there's a little problem here, and so they do a scan, they discover a growth. He said, better biopsy that growth. They take and they biopsy that growth, and it's cancer, and the report is put on the desk of the doctor. He sees all this. He sees the cancer from the biopsy, and you sit there waiting, and he says, you're fine. You're healthy as you can be. All good reports. Go live your life. Boy, thanks, doc. Boy, good news. I'm healthy. Biopsy, no problem. Good news. But you leave, you say, you know, I think I'll get a second opinion. You go to a second doctor, same procedure, same going, and the same diagnosis. Second doctor sees you have cancer. He looks at you and says, you've got cancer. But I've got good news. If you'll proceed with this way and this way and this way, you can be cured. You can be healed. Now, which doctor hated you, really? And which doctor loved you? So when we see people in a lifestyle that's leading over a cliff, what do? Say, oh, be careful. I'm not involved. I don't want you to think wrongly of me if I reach out and warn you and try to love you all the way back to safety. Or would hatred be, if you're going to walk off that cliff, just walk on off, partner. I'm not going to get involved. You're not my keeper. I'm not your keeper. Which is hate? Which is love? So I stand here, hopefully as a lover, for those who are proceeding this lifestyle to say, it's not God's pattern. To say, it's a deadly lifestyle. It's a lonely lifestyle. It's a horrific lifestyle, physically, mentally, emotionally, and certainly spiritually. We can't say, well, it's okay. It's all right. No problem. That's hatred. That's not love. You remember Campbell there in the story that happened this past Wednesday when he walked off the cliff. You remember what saved him? A tree. The same thing that saves you and me, heterosexual, homosexual, is a tree. Jesus Christ died on a cross on that tree so that we might be rescued, so that we might be saved. And that tree saves anybody and everybody who come broken, confessing, repenting, receiving Christ, and asking for his salvation and for his healing. So we come any way you figure it, not as prejudiced, bigoted, narrow. No, no. We come with tears. We come with tears to all those who have fallen victim to the evil that is packaged, perfumed, gift-wrapped with a ribbon on it, and saying, you'll be rescued by the tree upon which Jesus died. For you and for me.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Dr. Young is in the studio today to answer an important question before we leave that deals with a very controversial issue for many Christians. Dr. Young, here's the question. How do we welcome homosexuals into our churches without condoning their sexual behavior?
First of all, we
love the individuals and we hate the sin. God loves us. He hates your sin. He hates my sin. And the whole area of homosexuality, we demonstrate our love for them by getting to know them and listening to them and receiving them like we would anyone who's guilty of adultery, anyone who is a thief, anyone who served in prison. The Lord comes and says, you confess your sin and turn from your sin, I'll receive you into my family. You receive Christ. And so that is our message to them. And they say, well, you don't love me because you don't accept my lifestyle. No, we love them because we know their lifestyle is not only wrong before God, but their lifestyle is a debilitating lifestyle that will surely lead to a debilitation of their health. If you have cancer and you go to a doctor and he checks you out and does all the tests and he sees on an X-ray or a scan that you have cancer and you go back to him waiting for the report, he says, you don't have cancer. You're okay. You're perfectly healthy. And you walk out and you feel great. But you go to another doctor to get a second opinion. He does the same test, the X-ray, the scans, and he says, yes, you have cancer, but there's an answer for it. And here's what I will prescribe for you in treatment, maybe in surgery or radiation. Your oncologist worked with you, and I think you can be totally healthy. Now, which doctor loved the patient? The one who knew the patient had cancer and said, you're fine? Or the doctor said, you have cancer, but here's healing. And I would say that to anyone who is living in any kind of sin described in the Bible. There's not a hierarchy of sin. I'd say, I love you because I know here's an answer for your healing with that particular sin. So the idea that we don't love those who engage in sin that the Bible points out is not true. It's a demonstration of our love to point out that sin and point them to a way of healing, just like the doctor demonstrated his love by saying, yes, you have cancer, but here is a way you can be whole again. That's how I think we as Christians need to deal with those who engage in this lifestyle that is contrary to biblical truth.
We always look to God's Word for the answer, don't we? Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word, and we'd love to strengthen you further with a powerful series by Dr. Young. It's called Unmasking Evil, and he created it to help you face the evil in our culture in a uniquely Christian way by resting in the assurance of God's love for you and the ultimate defeat of evil through the cross. This 5-message series is our thanks for your gift of support to keep this program going strong. So call now to request Unmasking Evil when you give to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Thank you. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being here today. Listen next time as Dr. Young starts his message, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People?, tackling the most profound question about suffering that we all ask.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org. Give us a call at 1-800-350-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255, 9255, 350-350-9255.